out this morning, and hope you'll come back tonight. We're starting a new series on prayer tonight, as we look at what many people call the Lord's Prayer. That's tonight at 6. Hope you will decide to come back and join us then. This morning I want to start off with two things I believe we have in common. The first one is that when we do something for someone else, we love it when people say thank you. And that's not to say that we serve just for the thank yous, nor that we will stop serving when we don't get any thank yous, but it just makes us feel good and appreciated when someone sees our hard work, they see our sacrifice, they see how much we give to them, and they say, thank you for what you have done. Now, on the flip side, the second thing I believe we all have in common is when people don't say thank you, we hate it. It's so frustrating to us after we've put in hard work or maybe given of ourselves and of our means to someone else and them not say thank you for that. It's almost like they believe they're entitled to our generosity or entitled to our hard work. And so it's frustrating when we see someone else after we have served them not give us the appreciation that we deserve based upon our work. And so it's frustrating to us. Frustrating when someone doesn't say a simple thank you. And when we think about the things that we do for other people that deserve thank yous, I think we need to realize that anything we do for other people on this earth, none of that compares to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That doesn't even come close to what God has done for us in our lives. We read in the scriptures that God, when we were in our mother's womb, He formed us. He knitted us in our mother's womb, and He gave us life. Not only has He given us life, but He's given us so many blessings in life. He's given us food. He's given us shelter. He's given us clothing. He has given us a family. He's given us friends. He has given us so many things in our lives. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything that you can look at your life and say, this is good, this is perfect, we can say that was given by our God. We can look back at all of our life and say, God has given us good gifts. But the greatest and most perfect gift that He gives us is in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross. And through that cross, we have so many blessings in this life. We have the blessing of eternal life. We have the blessing of God's presence being in us and Him walking with us day by day. He gives us a purpose in life through the cross. He gives us a church family. He gives us access to the Father as we go and pray to Him. He gives us hope when there seems to be no hope on this earth. Time and time again, we see so many blessings that we are just saturated with in our lives from God and what He has done in Jesus Christ. And in those things, in the things that God has given us, God wants us to be grateful. God wants us to be thankful. But He doesn't want us just to be thankful for Himself, so that He might feel appreciated. But God wants us to give thanks, to be grateful for us, for our own benefit, for the benefit of our spiritual lives. Now, last week, we looked there at Ephesians chapter 5. We see Paul trying to convince these Christians there in Ephesus that they need to allow the Spirit to have the most influence over their lives as possible. He says, be full of the Spirit. And the way he uses that is he uses this analogy or this comparison between being drunk with wine versus being full with the Spirit. And just as when you drink of wine and you get drunk with wine, you allow the wine to take over. You allow the wine to influence your actions and your words, that we as Christians should allow the Spirit to be filled within us so it will impact our lives, it will impact our actions and our words so that we can look more and more like Jesus Christ, so that we can have the fruit of the Spirit, the product of the Spirit in our lives. And I think that's what we all want. We want to have those characteristics in our life. We want to look more and more like God's Son, Jesus, and how He lived His life here on earth. And last week we saw that the first way that Paul says we can allow the Spirit to have more influence over our lives is first of all through congregational singing. That when we come together and we sing to one another to build one another up, when we focus on the words and allow those to affect our hearts, and also remember that we're before the Lord that has done so much for us, and that we're singing to Him, that it should change our lives, that it should allow the Spirit to work within us and to transform our lives more and more to look like Jesus. The second way he says here in this passage that we can allow the Spirit to have greater influence over our life is by giving thanks. He says, be filled with the Spirit, verse 20, by giving thanks always. This isn't just something you do on Sunday or when we come together to worship. He says, always. This is a lifestyle. He says to do this for everything that God has given us. And we say this to God the Father in the name, meaning through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Paul is saying, by us constantly giving thanks to God, it will allow the Spirit to work on our lives. And what it will do is it will transform our lives to look more and more like Jesus. But how is that the case? How is it the case that when we give thanks, it leads to us changing our lives, that it leads to us being transformed to look more like Jesus? Well, first of all, I believe when we truly give thanks to God, when we are truly grateful, we live a life of appreciation and allegiance to God. Think for a moment of someone in your life, someone who has done something for you that you could never pay back. Maybe it was a difficult time for you financially, and someone helped you meet the bills. Maybe it was even the church to make you get through those rough months as you transitioned into a new job. Or maybe it was a friend in a time of acute grief for you that they were there for you, and they were that shoulder for you to cry on. They were just such a godsend to your life in that time of grief. Or someone got you a job that you could not have gotten yourself. It had to be based upon their recommendation. And you're just so grateful for what they did for you there. Think of the time in which you were given something or someone did something for you and you could not pay that person back. Well, what do you expect your reaction, your interactions with that person is going to be going forward? I think for all of us who've had those situations, what we would say, well, first of all, we're going to say thank you over and over and over as much as we can. But also after that, we try and live a life that is loyal to these people. We try to live a life that is in appreciation for what they have done. We try not to let them down based upon our lives. And so, based upon someone doing something that we couldn't do for ourselves, it allows us to live a life of gratitude and thanksgiving by how we treat them, and how we interact with them, by the life that we live. Well, the thing is about what God has done for us in Christ Jesus is God did something that we could not do ourselves, and that is to save us from our sins. We sang there before, God paid a debt He did not owe, and He paid a debt that we could not pay. God did something we couldn't do by ourselves by sending Jesus as that perfect and righteous sacrifice, that Lamb of God, to wash away our sins. No amount of good works in our lives, no matter how many times you come to worship service, no matter how many songs that you sing, no matter how many good works you do for other people, no matter how many mission trips you go on, or no matter how many people you bring to Christ, none of that can pay God back for the sin that we performed, we committed against Him. There in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Our salvation is not something of our own doing, and no amount of good works is going to save us from our sins. However, even though we realize we don't earn our salvation by our works, or earn our salvation by our church attendance, or our good deeds, or our evangelism, or whatever it may be, we also find here in this passage that we're expected to do good deeds towards other people. Verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Well, we're not supposed to earn our salvation through our good works, so why do we do these good works? Well, we do the good works because we are so appreciative. We're so grateful for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And us living in these good works is a way for us to show God how much we are grateful for what He has done for us. That even though we can't pay Him back for the salvation of our souls, that we are going to live a life of loyalty, allegiance, and appreciation to Him. Now on the flip side of that, look at Romans chapter 1. There in Romans chapter 1, we find out what happens when we are not grateful, when we don't give thanks to God for what He has done. There in chapter 1, we see Paul talking about all these horrible and vile sins that these Gentiles were doing. They knew God, but they still did them anyway. And the reason behind them performing all of these horrible sins and actions is this. Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Here he says that if we do not give thanks like they did not give thanks, then we are going to have a futile life with our minds darkened, and it results in all kinds of ungodliness. That's what happens when we do not give thanks. And so when we do give thanks, we need to realize that we are allowing ourselves to remember the appreciative life, the holy life we are trying to give and render to God as a way of saying thanks for all He has done for us. Now, second, when it comes to giving thanks, I believe that if we are truly grateful for what God has done for us, then we are going to grow in virtue, that we're going to grow in godly characteristics. I really like this quote from Marcus Cicero, where he says, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others." I really think that the idea of it being a parent of all others is true in so many different ways. Because when it comes to being grateful, when we are grateful, often it means that we have humility. Because when we are grateful, we realize that where we are today, we could not have gotten there by ourselves. There's no way we could have done anything to put ourselves in that position. We had the help of other people. When it comes to our salvation before God, we know for sure there's no way that we could ever be where we are today without the help of God and His salvation. And so it gives us humility. Giving thanks gives us humility, realizing we didn't do it all on our own. We didn't earn our salvation. But it's really all up to God and His generosity of giving us, offering salvation to each one of us. Also, when we give thanks, it lends itself to contentment. That when we thank God for all that He has done, we realize how much we truly have, how much He truly has given us. And it shows us the reason we should be content, because we have so much more than we can even ask or think. So giving thanks gives us that appreciative and content heart. And when you are giving thanks, I find it very hard in the next moment to be wanting more and more and more. Now I believe when we give thanks, it gives us the proper perspective of how much we truly have. And then finally, I believe that when we give thanks, it gives us perseverance. It gives us perseverance in our faith. Because when we give thanks, we are looking back on all the good things God has blessed us with up to this moment. And when we look back and see all the good things that God has done for us, how He has been faithful to us through the thick and thin, that when we are in our situation and maybe we're going through a turbulent time, a trial, some type of difficulty, that we remember all of those things and how God has been good to us in the past. And even if we don't see His hand right now, right here in this situation, we have confidence that He is going to be good to us right here, right now. He has not given up on us. That He is working all things out for good. So that gives us trust in God. It gives us faith that He's going to come through. And we can look back on the past that says, God has never let me down. And He is not going to let me down right here and right now. Now, these are just some examples of what we get when we are able to be truly grateful from the heart to God. There are many more maybe that we can think of. I thought of maybe some of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, there's some of them that are more inward focused, and more personal, like joy. I believe when we give thanks that we can have so much joy. And reflecting on that in a constant manner can give us so much joy in our life. I also thought about peace. When we see what God has done for us and thank Him for what He has done for us, especially our hope of heaven, we can always have peace. No matter what's going on in our life, we can always have peace. See, when it comes to giving thanks, it's apparent of a lot of good things in our lives. But not only for us personally, but also for other people as well. See, when we are grateful, so many times I find that we tend to be good to other people, to treat other people better. There in Titus 2, we see Paul speaking about the grace of God. And as he does so, notice what happens. What's the result for us as believers when we focus on the grace of God? This is what he says, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. I think that has to do with us having that appreciative, grateful lifestyle. We're staying away from sin. We're trying to obey God. But then it says, verse 13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. See, when we are focused on the grace of God and we give thanks for the grace of God, it produces here a people who are zealous, who are passionate about doing good things for other people. I think we see that through maybe the other-centered parts of the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That when we look and we are truly grateful for the love that God has given us, it's so much easier for us to love other people. That's what John says in 1 John chapter 4, where he says, we love because He first loved us. And so when we're grateful for the love of God, it makes us more loving towards other people. Also, peace. Now, this is not just inner peace, but peace with other people. That we strive for peace with other people because we see how God strove for peace between us. Because Romans chapter 5 and 6 shows that we are enemies of God. We were enemies of God, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God here shows us the perfect way for us to treat our enemies, and that is by sacrificing for them, caring for them, trying to bring reconciliation between the two. And so when we see how God treated His enemies, it should lead us to treat our enemies with true respect and sacrifice and service so that we can have peace. And then finally, I have here patience. When you look at what God has done for you when it comes to patience and how patient He has been on your life, I think all of us could say He's been patient in our lives. It should lend itself for us to be patient with other people. Yes, when they mess up. Yes, when they might lie to you or do some harm to you. We have patience with them because we know ourselves. We have messed up so many times. We've done things against God. And we haven't been deserving of that patience. And so we give that to other people as well. And so up here on the board, I have a remix of the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And here I have this. Do unto others as God has done unto you. I believe if you do that, you will, first of all, complete the golden rule. But also, what it will do is allow you in your life to bless other people, to be blessed by God and realize how blessed you are so that you can extend that blessing to the people around you. So here we focus on the why. These are the reasons why I believe Paul is saying, give thanks always. It's because it transforms our lives. It gives us virtue. It helps us to be more grace-filled in how we interact with other people. It helps us and trains us to be godly in an ungodly world. But the problem I often have with giving thanks is not the why, but the when. Now we know the when based upon Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. He says, give thanks always, right? Give thanks. We know how often we should do it. The problem is having that actually put practically in my life where that becomes a reality. See, for me, I struggle with this, that I get so busy in the hustle bustle of each day that sometimes I forget to give thanks to God on a regular basis. And I even forget that sometime in my prayer time that I pray to God and I list all the things that I want Him to do, and then at the end I'm like, oh yeah, I probably need to say thanks. So I tack that on at the end. To be honest, I find it a struggle to be someone who constantly gives thanks to God. And maybe you struggle with that as well. And so this week I'm going to try some things, and maybe there's some of these things that you want to do as well to make it where giving thanks is a constant staple in your life. The first thing I'm going to do is that I am going to make a bigger part of my devotional time just truly meditating on what God has done for me. I often, kind of my go-tos are prayer and scripture reading, but I'm going to take some time to truly meditate what God has done for me. And really, that's the only way we can give thanks, is if we know what God has done for us. So I'm going to set a little bit of time out of my normal devotional period and make that a thing I'm going to put into my life this next week. Maybe you want to try that as well. Also, it's something I want to do is to make it a priority in my prayers. And instead of asking for this list of things at the beginning of my prayers, before I ask for anything in the prayer, I'm going to try and thank God at least for five things. Thank God for five things before I even send up a request to Him, ask Him for five things. And also something I'm going to do this week to try and help giving thanks be a constant part of my life. So in the morning, I'm going to pray for open eyes to see God's goodness and to give thanks there on the spot throughout my day. To have that as my focus at the beginning of the morning so I can have my eyes open, and when I see something good that God has done, to give thanks for it right then in the moment. And then I'm going to pray at the end of the day, look back and see if I missed anything, and to give thanks with God for what He has done for me. Those are just examples. You don't have to follow them. Maybe there's some other things that you want to do. Maybe you want to do it as a family right before you go to bed and just tell about the good things of your day and give praise to God. Or maybe you want to put it on your phone where every 2 or 3 hours it buzzes and reminds you, give thanks to God. Or maybe you just want to spend more time journaling to God and thanking Him and writing it out what He has done for you. I hope you can take something practical and put it into your life this week so that you can give thanks always. And they're not just exercises that we do, but this really matters. Giving thanks really matters. That's why Paul put it in this list. Because what he believed about gratitude was that gratitude gives us the attitude to be transformed. It gives us the disposition for the Spirit to come into our heart and affect our lives so that we can be holy and loving and caring and grateful before our God. I hope that we can take something in our lives so that we can keep giving thanks a constant staple of our lives, because it really does work. It really does change our lives to be more grateful to God so that we can be self-controlled in this world. Be grateful to God so that we can have greater virtues and be better Christians, stronger, mature Christians. Be grateful to God so that we can give grace to other people as God has given grace to us. Remember, gratitude gives us the attitude to be transformed. Let's have that attitude as we start our week. Let's pray to God. Dear God, our Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you are doing. Thank you for all that you're going to do. We thank you, Lord, for being the God of the universe that you are, the creator of us all, the sustainer of us all. We thank you, Lord, and the blessings you just pour forth for all of your creation, including us. And we thank you for that. Thank you so much for these things that we so often take for granted. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and what you have done for us in his work. Thank you, Lord, for doing something we could not do for ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for doing for us something that is just immeasurable, to have eternal life with you forever. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We pray, Lord, that we can live grateful lives. Help us, Lord, to be grateful. Help us to be constant in our giving of thanks. Help us always, Lord, to be grateful to you for what you've done and you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe there's someone here this morning that wants to thank God for what he's done in your life. Maybe you're getting to the point where you need to come to Christ, that you realize what you need to do to be a Christian, and you're thankful for what God has done for you so that you could become a Christian. And you want to come and submit your life to a life of gratitude before God this morning, and come and repent of your sins and be baptized, and to start that life anew with God. Or maybe there's someone here this morning that hasn't been as thankful and it's kind of been shown in your actions. And you want to ask for the encouragement and the prayers of the congregation. We're here for you with that. If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing this invitation song.